Hallelujah. The Bible says in your presence, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, in your presence, there's what? Fullness of joy. Hallelujah. See, it's not a burden for me to serve God. I enjoy serving God. Hallelujah. The first and foremost reason why I enjoy serving God is because I love Him. I don't know about you, but I love God. Hallelujah. Look, I love my wife. I love my children. But I love God more. Hallelujah. In fact, I could not really love them except through the genuine love of God. You see, if I try to love them without the genuine love of God, it's a selfish love. What's in it for me? Hallelujah. But by loving God, I'm able to love others much more than ever. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. So I love God. Hallelujah. Say to yourself, say, I love God. Because He's my God. He's my Father. Hallelujah. God is my Father. You know, when they called Jesus, was 12 years old, and He went to the temple with His parents. And then His parents left, and they were looking for Him. They couldn't find Him. They've already gone 2 days' journey. Okay? Those days, it was journey by foot and camel and donkey. Yeah? After 2 days, the Father is not there. So they go back. So how many days now to get back? 4. And then finally they found Him in the temple. A 12-year-old. How old are you again? 12. Yeah? Discussing with all the teachers and all the doctors and all the religious leaders. I'm like, they were amazed. I said, we've been looking for you. He said, why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Hallelujah. I said, God is my Father. Say, God is my Father. Therefore, I enjoy serving Him. Hallelujah. He said, I tell you something, there are only two choices you have in life. I've not yet gone into the message. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. Now, I know very much that you don't want to serve the devil. Yeah? Do you want to serve the devil? Do you want to serve the devil? Like, do you really, really want to, by any chance, serve the devil?
No.
No. Now, let me explain something to you. Something we don't understand and something we miss every time. Any time you are not serving God, you're serving the devil. Because there's no vacuum spiritually. In the physical, there can be vacuum. In the spirit, there's no vacuum. Any time you are not doing the will of God, yeah? You are doing what? The will of the devil. You may think you are serving yourself. Yeah? But that serving you are giving to yourself will fulfill the purpose of the devil. Every time the devil succeeds in taking you away from the will of God, yeah? He's fulfilling his own purpose. Are you with me? Therefore, that's why there's only one option you have. There are not two options. Only one. To serve God. Because the other option you don't want to. And you fall into it by default. If you don't serve God. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I want to tell you something. Your soul includes your mind, reason, and your emotions. Even your emotions are not allowed to drift away from loving God. Now I tell you something. When I'm not feeling good, yeah, I'm just being human, isn't it? Anybody here who has felt good all the time? But I know that you're not falling sick this year. But have you felt good all through every moment, every second? No. That's proof that you are what? Human. Hallelujah. Even when we read the Bible, we see that Jesus, the unique Son of God, there were moments he did not feel good. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the people weeping because of Lazarus, Jesus was troubled in the spirit. And then one verse came up, and Jesus what? Wept. Are you with me? Yeah? But God is not against your emotions. But what God doesn't want you to do is to live under the shadow of your emotions. Hallelujah. You are not an emotion. Amen? That's not who you are. You are greater than your emotion. Amen? You are what? Greater than your emotion is just a part of you. Just like your hand is a part of you. You are greater than your hand. Are you with me? So when your emotions come, you must still let them be, you must let them subject to your spirit. I am to love the Lord my God with all my soul. And the reason is because God can change your emotions. Hallelujah. You can be feeling very battered. But when you enter into the presence of the Lord and you open up your heart, you can live there full of joy. Hallelujah. It's one thing I like about joy, that joy is not dependent on what you are going through. Joy is from above. Hallelujah. But you cannot experience joy until you begin to focus on Him. It's a conscious decision not to put too much importance to those bad feelings or bad circumstances. They are still there, I know. They've not yet left, I know. But you consciously decide that God is more important. And when you do that, you know what He does? He is the one who can strengthen you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes God opened my eyes. And I was sharing that with my wife also this morning. Many times we pray for grace. Yes, Sister Nika, are you there? So, I just need what? More grace. Let me crack you a joke. You know, like, you know, we have this Christmas holidays, yeah? Christmas holiday, many people take time off. Yeah? So, on Friday, we did not see Sister Nika at home fellowship. I was wondering, what happened? Then the other one told me that, oh, she went to work on Friday after all the time off. Do you understand? So the body slows down and then it refuses to go into gear. Do you have an old car that refuses to go into gear? Yeah? Are you with me? Yeah, but God is faithful. You see, we pray for grace, but God has already given grace. Many times it's about taking advantage of grace. It's like you're saying, God, I need more grace. God, topping it up. The grace was there, then He topped it up. God, I need more grace. Top it up. But you know the problem? You are not tapping into grace. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us to tap more into what? Grace. Because He said what? He said, my grace is sufficient. So you just say, my grace. God's grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 12. I want to talk today about godly contentment. Can we say that together? Godly contentment. Usually when I preach, most times I teach. And when I teach, I ask questions. I could preach without asking questions. But I made up my mind a long time ago that I don't want to just preach you a nice sermon. What I really want to give to you is not knowledge. What I want to give to you is understanding. I don't want to just give you what? Knowledge. I want to give you what? Understanding. I want you to live and say, I see, I understand. And that's why I ask questions. And I'll be doing the same today. Luke chapter 12. I'm going to have one of our youth. You know, all Bible readings today will be read by our youth. Luke chapter 12, we are reading verse 13 to 21. Okay, so starting with Sean. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Please just read it slowly. Luke 12, 13 to 21. Please follow in your Bible. Because the questions I'll be asking, we also flow on from what we've read. Luke 12, 13 to 21.
Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own."
You are reading to verse 21.
Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you'll die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Verse 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God.
Amen. Today, I believe that God will be showing you things you've never seen in these verses. The first question I want to ask myself is this. As you read that story about the rich fool, what was wrong with the rich fool? Where did he get it wrong? Yes, that's my first question today. What was wrong with the rich fool? What did he get wrong? What did he do wrong? Yes. There are no prizes today. Yes. What was wrong with this rich fool? What did he do wrong? What did he get it wrong?
Well, he was really greedy, wasn't he?
He was greedy. Can you prove that? I mean, explain how you think he was greedy based on the story. What makes you think that he's greedy? Yes, Elpa. That's a good answer, by the way. Why do you think he was greedy? Because I know I caught you unaware, so let's get someone else. So it's a good answer. He was greedy. But why? From the story.
He was thinking only of himself.
He was thinking only of himself. Yeah? So I think a better word for that is not just greedy, but selfish. Yeah? You see, let me tell you something. Selfish and greedy are not the same thing. Selfishness is the mother of greed. Greed is just one of the children of selfishness. There are many children. I can tell you all of them, but it will take a long time to break them down. There are many children of selfishness. Probably I'll tell you about some others today. Yes? So, let's take some other answer. What was wrong with the rich fool? Where did he miss it? Just looking at the story. Look at that story. Analyze the story. Just look at the story. Analyze it. Read it again. And ask yourself, what did he mean? What did he do wrong? Yes? So, let's have Brother Fernando then, Brother Teller.
He was proud.
He was proud. That's a good answer. Yeah. A good answer. By the way, yes, go on.
He was proud and he believed that the cause of his increase was him and only him.
Ah, he was proud and he what?
And he thought his much increase was the cause of him and only him.
He believed that what his increase was for him and only him. Well, because of him. Yes. Yes, it was because of him. He did it. He deserved it. And it's for only him. Good answer so far. It was greedy, selfish, proud. Yes, let's have some other shades. You know, all these answers are good. I'm just taking more shades.
Yeah. My answer is...
think about that story and think about your life.
Yeah, he feels secured in his wealth. When he said, I'll sit back and say to myself, my
friend, he felt...
secured.
Secured as well. So the question I'm asking is that, is there anything wrong with financial security? in terms of, that's a good answer. It's a good answer. You know, just something for you to think about. Is there anything wrong with financial security? Is there anything wrong with financial planning? Because this guy did some, that was financial planning. He got something. He felt secured now. I said, well, I've hit it. I don't need to work again. How many people there don't want to work again for the rest of their life? Is that all you are? You see? So financial security, that's one, but to make sure that, you got it right, financial planning. So is there anything wrong with financial security and financial planning? Okay. Let's, now all the answers up. I must have hit a nerve somewhere. Okay. What do we do now? Okay. Let's, you. Two more. So just two more. So you, and I'll go for Sakemi, I'll go for the quiet ones. So you, Sakemi, and Spadigi, and then stop there. And probably you have your chance later. You're gone.
He was too focused on earthly belongings.
He was too focused on earthly possession. We know that from verse 21. God himself said that. It was Jesus himself said that. Yes, Sister Kemi. What's wrong with it? All the others are good.
In everything that he has accumulated, he didn't acknowledge God.
He did not, like you said, he deserved it, and it was for him alone. He did not acknowledge God. And one more?
Yeah, he stole my answer.
Okay, so say it again for emphasis.
Stole my answer.
Okay.
he didn't acknowledge God.
He did not acknowledge God. Okay, let's go back. We're coming with more. Okay, one more. Is it now?
He didn't give the first fruit of his increase.
He didn't give the first fruit of his increase to God. Okay, we cannot. Yeah. Okay. Go on. Last one.
It trusted in his riches.
It trusted in his riches. I just want to show you something about this story that just because basically I don't want to look at this story. I want to apply it to my life. You know, you can read this story and go thinking, you know what? It's not good to be rich. Or we read 1 Timothy 6 that says, you know, those that seek for riches are going to get into a lot of trouble. And it's true. It's true. There are many people lying, cheating, you know, doing all manner of bad things just for the sake of getting financial wealth. Or sometimes even just to get food. Some people do. It's not everybody in prostitution that wants to be there. You need to understand that. You know, just remember that. Now, coming back to the story, as I was looking at the story, Bible says that a rich man's farm, it brought forth large harvest. Was that his fault? Was it a bad thing that he worked hard? Well, the Bible didn't say he worked hard, actually, you know. Take note of that. But let's also assume that he worked hard and his land produced. Obviously, somebody took care of the soil, removed the weeds, planted the seed. Let's assume he did that, yeah? So, it worked. Is there anything wrong with working hard? No. I mean, I come across statements, you know, on social media, and people saying that, you know, I don't need to, you know, you don't need to toil, you don't need to labor, you know, just enjoy God and rest. I'm telling you the truth, yeah? If you want to rest and you don't want to toil and labor at all, just sleep. When it's time to go to work, is that okay? Just snooze. You have what? Rest. But there will be no. Hallelujah. I believe that what God doesn't want you to have is hard labor. Hard labor. Yeah? Where your output is less than your input. Are you with me? When you labor and you multiply, it's in the perfect will of God. Because he said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. So God's kingdom, you put in and it's multiplied. That's good labor. Hard labor is you are putting in more than you are getting back. Are you with me? So far, this man is not in fault. He planted and he reached abundance. We get the feeling from the parable that actually he reaped more than he expected. Because the Bible said that he came for abundance. That's a bit more than, it was a multiple of his input. Do you get that? So it was so far not a problem. So God is not against you, you know, against your prosperity. Are you with me? God is not against your prosperity. God does not want you to live in poverty where you cannot meet your needs. Are you with me? That's not where the problem is. The Bible then says that this man, this is where the problem started. You know, they said, I reaped the Lord. Oh, yes. Now, I need to pull down my barns. Remember, that means that he already has some storage. He had stored some goods. But now, there's not enough room for the blessing. Let me just move forward because I have a lot of questions. I need to nail them. I pray that I want to really ask all these questions. Quick things. One, he did not understand that the increase of his labor was not just only due to him. Who created the land? Who made the seed that you plant? The technology that makes a seed become fruit. Did he invent that technology? With all of science, they've not invented a seed. You don't understand the technology in a seed. A seed that is as dry and lifeless like anything, you put it in the ground that they bury things, and then it comes out with food. Who did that? God. So, your labor without God is zero. You will not reap any harvest. If God withdrew his mercy from your life, your labor will not produce anything. There are people that work harder than you. They are on the street from morning to evening. And they don't earn up to 1% of what you are earning. Are you with me? So it's not just because of what you did. I know you went to school and you did very well. You were the top in your class. You know, so you have a good brain and worked hard. They say, how did you do it? You know, people say, imagine someone being given an award for the best student. The next question, how did you do it? Then they feel happy and cool. I say, yes. I say, if you know how much midnight candle I burnt. Are you with me? That brain that you have, who gave you? You were talking about a student who had to withdraw from a course temporarily because of infection. You went to school, drank wicked water. But you were not infected. You finished. Some people were killed by a stray bullet. But you made it. It's the mercy of God. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:22, it said, if not for the lost mercies, we would have all been what? Concealed. If once I can understand that, it changes the way I live my life. I am not the sole architect of my success. Let me tell you something about science. Because some scientists get it wrong. Do you know that every knowledge that has been discovered by science is because God allowed it? Anything that God does not want man to discover, he will not discover it. There is no technology today God has allowed. And that's why now technology is improving, increasing. It's because it's in the plan. From the beginning, God already prophesied that in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And people shall run to and fro. Now, you can go from Basingstoke to Newcastle in 1 hour. God allowed it. It's not just because you were smart. Are you with me? God allowed that knowledge to be released. Amen? Are you with me where he missed it? He did not acknowledge God. That's not the only thing he missed. Then, he thought that his increase was for himself alone. Already we know that he has got more than what he needed. I'm not saying more than what he wanted, what he needed. The difference between what you need and what you want. Yeah? You can go to the shop and buy a very nice dress. Sister Nika, are you still there? Then, as you buy, you bought it, and then you put it on for the last Sunday of the year. It's brand new. Then as you were walking into church, that's Sister Nika, you saw who? Sister Runke? Wearing exactly the same dress. Problem. You know, somebody who is very, very worldly, they will not, once from the car, they go back up. If they are worldly, they go back home. And if you are not careful, they may not even show up in church again that day. Because that has spoiled their day. The next week, they are back in town. Are you with me? So it's not a matter of need now, it's a matter of want. So, but he got more than what he needed, much more, because he had a storage already. And I have a feeling that storage was more than what he needed. Because you don't store. If you need something, you consume it. But now, he now got much more than what he needed. And what he got was enough to cater for both his needs and his want. So basically, your need is that I just need to survive. But now I want to eat a bit extra. He had it. But that was normal size. But now he now got much more. Then all he thought, he said, I'm going to break down my storage. And because basically the idea is that the storage was the type he had that can cater for 2 years' food. Or a year's food. But you see how much more he got? He said, now, I'm not going to work again. I'm going to retire. And have you ever heard of retiring very early? Yeah. That's not the will of God for your life. Now, please don't misunderstand me. You can retire from one type of work and do a higher quality type of work. But just destroy that thought that you will retire and be living by the ocean or sea. It's a devilish ambition. Something that will waste your life forever. It's never God's plan. God wants you, even to your last breath, to be productive. Now, I don't mean working in the NHS until you are 80. No. I mean to be productive. To be touching lives. To be blessing somebody. To be making a difference in your world. That's the value of your life. Luke chapter 12 verse 15 says, a man's life is not defined by the abundance of his possessions. There's a revelation there. That means that the life is different from your possession. Many of times we measure our life according to what? Our possession. When I'm saying possession, please don't just think of money. That includes your degree. That includes your career, your status. The recognition you have is part of your possession. The acceptance you have is part of your possession. The talents you have, the skills you have, maybe you can sing very well or you can hack very well, it's part of your possession. But he's telling you that that's not your life. You see, your possession is just a tool. Say to your neighbor, say, your possession is a tool. How you use it will determine whether you are living the real life or not. He's trying to tell you that this life that you have, yeah, is your life is for fruitfulness. Your life is to touch other lives and be a blessing. That's the life. The possession is to help you. You know, for example, how many people have gone without food for 7 days? Okay, I know. Okay, how many people have even gone without food for a whole day in the last 2 weeks? Christmas moment. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say to you is that if you go without food for a long time, you can't function. You may want to sing. You say, because there's no energy. Are you with me? So you need the food. Not just for enjoyment, but for energy to live the life that God has called you to live. So that's why the life is more than the possession. Are you with me? Time is running, so I need to move on because I could stay there and just finish there. You know, as in stay there, unpack it, 20 minutes is gone, end of sermon. So I want to ask some other questions. So he did not acquire where his first come off. Then when he got resources, he thought it was all for himself. So I want to explain to you that what you have, you have received. Please let's go to 1 Timothy and let me show you that point. 1 Timothy 6. I keep trying to explain this to people. Because once you can understand that, it changes the way you live. One of the things that is your greatest enemy in this life is a sense of entitlement. Once you have a sense of entitlement, you will never, 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 never appreciate what God is doing. Because it's not enough. 1 Timothy 6. Please open to 1 Timothy 6. I believe that God is speaking to you. God is blessing you. The purpose of the message, I want God, the purpose of the word is to liberate you. Somebody say liberation. That's what the word does. It sets you free to live the real life. So 1 Timothy 6. Are you there? If you are there, if you are in 1 Timothy 6, shout hallelujah. I'm not sure everybody that shouted hallelujah is there, because the last time Mr. O was here, he said shout hallelujah, and I shouted hallelujah and I was not there. It's just a default in your brain. Say shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are sleeping, shout hallelujah. So you are sleeping, yes. 1 Timothy 6, are you there? Let me show you something that God is showing us. He says, verse 6, he says, see the connection between 6 and 7. See this connection between 6 and 7. 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? Somebody read for me verse 7. Audrey. Now, listen. Verse 6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7 will tell us why.
For we brought nothing into this
world. Because you brought nothing into this world. In fact, when you were born, the last time I checked, you were naked. And most likely crying. For why do babies cry when they are born? And in the traditional setting, when a baby is born and they don't cry, what do they do? Why do babies cry when they are born?
Gush of hair, cold.
Yeah?
There's a cold.
Cold. Wind. Yeah, I thought it was because we are hungry. Yeah. So even in the Sahara Desert, a baby is born with all the heat and the sun, and they still cry. Is it because they are cold?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Hallelujah. Please, come finish reading. Godliness will condemn his great gain. Why? Verse 7.
For we have brought nothing into this world.
Please try to understand this thing. You brought nothing. Somebody say nothing. Into this world. That's the meaning of telling that your life is a gift. It's everything you have now, including this nice jacket and this nice shirt. I know you didn't buy it with your money yet. But if you didn't have life, it would not have been bought for you. See the value of your life? Yeah? Because you have life, that's why possessions can come towards you. Say, for we brought nothing into this world. Now, give me the next revelation.
And this is certain.
It is what?
Out.
It is certain. Don't deceive yourself. Don't what? Deceive yourself. It is certain that we can take what? Except the life. The life you were given as a gift, that's what you take out. What you did with your life is what you take out of this life. Not the book or the degree. What you did with them. If you have a degree, it's not that's all matters. What you did with it. Let me give you another example. You know, some of us were born in Africa. Not everybody, but some of us were born in Africa. And maybe now you are living in the UK. You become a citizen. Yeah, Brother Tola? I said, nah, I've arrived. Not a problem. I'm okay. Alicante, Benidorm, and what's the other one? Balaga. He's already finished you now. No need for visa. I can go anywhere. I'm okay. Even if the worst happened to me, I'll go and benefit. I can never suffer again. That citizenship, yeah, is a possession that you did not bring into this world. The purpose of it, the value of it when you will leave this world is what you did with it. See what I mean? What you did with it that God can recognize. It's not just only everything you did with it, but the one that will be recognized in the kingdom. That's the one you can take out. Anything that you do with any possession you have that cannot be recognized in the kingdom, you live here. There are people who are great men on earth. Even monuments and statues are built to them. But those statues, they left them here. People may recognize them, but in heaven, if they are not rich towards God, is what? Nothing. Do you get it? So it says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can live with nothing. I don't know if you've been in that situation like I've been, where at the end of the month I collect a new salary. Have you been there? And I look at my account, it looks good. You know, have you ever been there that your account looks good? Hallelujah. 1 week, 2 weeks. You know, I told myself, I said, if I sit down and calculate all the pounds, I'm not talking of naira, I'm talking of pounds, that have passed through my account. I should be a solid, stinking rich man. You see what I'm trying to say? So the money will come and go, but what you did with it, if any part of what you did with it adds value to the kingdom or adds value to lives, it is stored in heaven waiting for you. And I read that scripture. I don't want to take you there. Jesus said, he said something, and I thought, because sometimes it's good to meditate on the word. He said, when you store it in heaven, he said, no thief can touch it. No rot, no rust, no moth, nothing. It's secure. That is the true financial security. Are you with me? Now, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your possession is not just money. Your possession is anything of value in your life. Anything of value. That includes your influence and your connections. You can use your influence and connections for the glory of God. Yeah? And that will be stored in heaven for you. Are you with me? Let's take some questions. I will finish 11:45. That's the end of the service time. Let me give you some questions. 11:45. That's the official time. So I will start rounding up in 13 minutes. No. In 10 minutes, I mean. Let's see some questions. You see, because I'm a teacher, I can say one thing and just unpack it. But I want to look at some other things there. So then, what is the true definition of covetousness or greed? If you're to define, what do you mean of covetousness or greed? Because we understand now that covetousness does not mean you cannot be rich. So you can be rich and not covetous. And you can be poor and covetous. Hello? Listen to that again. You can be rich and not greedy. You can be poor and very greedy. Did you realize that? So what is the meaning, the true meaning, in your own words, of covetousness or greed? I have one definition, but let me take one answer. How can you define covetousness? Obviously, the man was covetous. Because the Bible said this. It said, beware of covetousness. Or greed. Yes. What define anybody? Yes, Sister Frida.
I don't know. Yeah. Selfishness.
Selfishness, yes, you are going there. Anybody qualified more? You know why selfishness is a good answer and not a good answer? Because to a degree, every human being is selfish. That's what drives the economy of the world. All sin comes from selfishness and pride. Okay, so it's a perfect answer, but let's break it down. What is covetousness?
Excess. So excess use of something or someone or.
Okay, when you excessively.
Yeah, excessive. Yeah.
Do something. Yeah. Okay, that's nice. I'm looking for something better. What is covetousness?
It's not being contented with what we have, desiring what we have.
Okay, so for example, maybe all you have, yeah. Like that widow. You know that widow that in the Bible is your last meal. So no food for tomorrow. Will you be content with that? Let's have the answer.
No, I would want more.
You want more? Okay. And is that a sin to want more in those circumstances?
No.
No. Okay. So yes. How can we define covetousness then? Covetousness, what does that mean?
So with covetousness is when you've got something and you still want somebody's. So even yes. Using that widow's.
Yes, so you have something. Like for example, we have in the story in the Bible. You have a horse. But the other person's horse is more beautiful than yours. Yeah? So you want that horse. Not because it can do better than your horse in the work, but it's just nicer. Yes? Yes? Two more answers. What is covetousness or greed?
Let's say unreasonable desire for wanting more than you need.
Okay. An unreasonable desire. For wanting more than you. That's a good answer. Yes. And lastly.
Let me hurry up because of some two more questions I want to ask.
Not being content and making use of what you have, but desiring something you don't need.
Okay. Yes, that's an excellent answer. Let me just give you my definition so that we can move on. It summarizes some many things you said. Covetousness, this is my definition, is wanting everything for yourself without due consideration for others. So for example, if there was no other person in the world, I can claim the whole world. Because there's no other person. That doesn't mean I'm covetous. But if I want everything for myself, if I want something for myself without consideration for others, that's covetousness. Like in the rich man, he had more than he needed for a lifetime. But he was not going to be bothered about anybody. He was not going to be bothered about anybody. Even his workers, he was going to sack them. Do you get it? Don't assume that man was the one that worked that land. He was assuming, but don't assume. He might have had workers. And he might not have given them bonus for the extra that came in. Are you with me? That's what a conventional person will do. He will earn extra. His business will prosper, but no bonus for the workers. He might not have even tilled any ground. Wanting everything for yourself without due consideration for others. That's greed. Covetousness. So it's always in relationship with how we treat other people. Now, quick comment about our possession. Just understand that if you're a true child of God, your possession is never for yourself only. Never. Your possession is something that God has put in your hand to meet your need and to bless others. Together, they go side by side, side by side, side by side, side by side. Now, I have people that tell me that, you know what, I don't have much. Yeah? I don't have much. So I only meet my needs. I can't bless others. You are making a big mistake. When you don't have much, you need to resize. Somebody say resize. To make sure that, you know, if you don't have more, that's not the time to go and buy a new Mercedes Benz that will take away all your salary. That's why there are many cars in the world. Do you get the idea? You resize so that your needs should not be taking 100% of your money. Are you with me? You should not. You resize. Because even with little, you can be covetous. You must make room to bless others. Let me give an example. I'm hungry and I need to eat. So I have this ready-made meal. Yeah? And, you know, I ate in the morning, I ate in the afternoon. It's just dinner. Yeah? Okay? That's the only dinner I have. I don't have any extra food in the house. That's just my dinner. So as I was about to eat this food, somebody came in. I could see them. They've not eaten for 1 week. See, now their need is greater than mine. It is justifiable to release the whole of my dinner, the whole, and go hungry. Because I ate in the morning and I ate in the afternoon. But someone has not ate for a week. See the difference, how it works. So I can be covetous even with little. When I don't have a due consideration for others. And that's not the life. Are you with me? We're talking about godly contentment. Let me ask one or two more questions and we'll round up in 5 minutes. So I'd like to define prosperity then. What is prosperity? Definition. It's having enough of God's provision to do God's will. If you think prosperity is just to have a lot, you are not prospering. Abraham was prosperous. But the mark of his prosperity is that God, it was a blessing to others. When what you have does not bless others, that's not prosperity. That's covetousness. Let me explain that again. I know you said you are not greedy. I know you will take me to court if I call you a greedy person. Yeah? But listen to what I'm saying. When what you have been receiving or what you have, when part of it, God never asked for everything, when part of it is not released to bless others, it is covetousness. Are you with me? And blessing others starts from the kingdom. Are you with me? Someone said, okay, I'm going to bless others. So I will send some money to my junior brother, you know, in his money. But it's my brother. What of that man on the street that is not my brother? Is he not God's creation? Are you with me? What about the work of God? I know, because I know people, I say that, you know, that's how, don't mind Pastor Ben, he's just, you know, he's because he's a pastor, that's why he's very serious about the things of God. If you were running a business, some of us here, because I know sometimes I talk about punctuality or, you know, accounting, you're running a business, would you like anybody to come and mess? Yeah, your workers, you like them to come late? Anybody? You see, Saronke is in human resources, so you can understand the passion. No. Do you like anybody to mess around with your income? No. Why? Because it's your business. What about God's business? And you said you're a child of God. Are you with me? Are you seeing how it works? So the Bible said that man, he said, you know what? You were going to die tonight. Imagine. He said, you will die tonight. He said, why? I'm not even convinced as I'm preaching now that was just a parable. I always tell you something. I said, because Jesus has lived forever. Yeah? He has enough example. You know, like if I pastor for 30 years, if I'm telling you things, I'll be quoting things that have happened in the past. You can even assume that all the parables of Jesus happened. Because he doesn't need to give you a fictitious story. He doesn't need fiction. He has enough example for 6,000 years. He said a certain rich man, his land, gave much. He said, God told him, he said, today you will die. He said, why? Because, he said, you know why he told you die? He said, you are useless for the kingdom. I know you are rich, but you are useless for the kingdom. I'm not talking to you. Are you with me? He said, that's the condition of everybody who has earthly possessions, but is not rich towards God. Let's take one last question and we finish then. Actually, let me see. Okay, this is where I will stop. This question. So, two questions actually. What is, if you are contented, and you are not being covetous, but you are content, what's the master proof of contentment? Somebody who is content. If you meet somebody who is content, what is the evidence or the proof that you know that, okay, but listen, you said I'm content. I'm living a contented life, whatever my situation. What is the master proof of contentment? No, actually, let me see. Did I miss it? Yes, no. I missed one. What is contentment? We talk about covetousness, yeah? It's not being content. But what is contentment or godly contentment? For time, I'll just give you my definition. I told you contentment has nothing to do with your status right now or your need or what you have. Contentment, godly word, the godly type. Of course, in general, contentment means being happy or being satisfied. Yeah? That's why I have to say godly contentment, because a murderer, you know, the people that are wicked, they're such a sado, matosh, they're wicked people, they take pleasure in wickedness. Yeah? And I tell you that when they achieve wickedness, like if they kill somebody, touch somebody, they will be contented. Do you know that? They will feel content. Yeah, cool. So that's why we cannot take that definition. So what's God's contentment? God's contentment is appreciating what you have. No matter how little or how much. And using it to do God's will. So you can see that God's contentment has nothing to do with actually the amount of possession now. The contentment has to do with how you are living that life. Or how you are using those possessions. Let me say that again. Godly contentment is appreciating what you have and using it for God's will. I will stop now. I'll do a part two of this message next year. But let me open the scripture to you. I'll give you a revelation. And then we stop there. Matthew. Go to Matthew. That's the last one now. Matthew 25. Please, everybody open. Don't miss this one. This is revelation. Somebody say revelation. Yesterday I went to drop someone, I was driving on, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart, this revelation. Hallelujah! I got it! Matthew 25. Are you there? Let's just for time, let's look at only one verse, 29. So let's have sister, let's go to this side, sister Runke. Matthew 25, verse 29. Please, this is a revelation on how it works, contentment. I want to teach you the link between contentment and prosperity. Yes?
So those who use well what they are given.
Yes.
Even more will be given.
Yes.
And they will have an abundance.
Yes.
But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away.
Amen. So which version was that again?
New Living.
New Living. Thank you. I like that. Now let's have it from King James Version or New King James. Just for the contrast. Sir Kemi, do you have it? No. King James or New King James? King James. Because I will tell you the reason why I'm looking for it. It's very succinct.
So New King James says, for everyone who has, more will be given.
For everyone, listen to this. For everyone who has, more will be given. Yes, go on.
And he will have abundance.
And if we want to have what? Abundance. Yes?
But from him who does not have.
From him who does not have.
Even what he has.
Even what he has.
Will be taken away.
I'm telling you, that statement is not an earthly statement. You know, like, it's not, that's why I have to read it. You know, sometimes, you know, thank God for the other versions, and I use them. Always use many versions to understand your Bible. But no matter what you do, go back to King James. Because King James tries to give you words that we just tries to pack it. Because those words are pregnant with meaning. What happens with the other versions is that they break it down, but you can lose some other type of meaning. But actually, sometimes they do better. So it depends. Use them together. But look at King James. That is not a statement that a human being can... That statement is the only statement that the Son of God, the unique Son of God can make. Listen to what it says. It says, for everybody who has, even more will be given, and they will have what? Abundance. But now, before I explain that, let me explain the other one. But he who has not, now remember, he has not. Even what he has, but he has not. He had not. But he said even what he has. So I want to give you some few revelations. Number one, there is never any time in your life that you have not. You may have little or you may have much, but you always have. Now, the background to this thing was that there was a servant giving one talent and he went to bury it. So it's everyone who has. So contentment is if you don't appreciate what you have, you can never, never make the most of it. For the glory of God. You will always be discontented. Now look at the key. Say, when you appreciate what you have, I know you are not where you need to get to. And God didn't tell you should stay where you are because you should be contented. That's not contentment. He's telling you that when you appreciate what you have and you begin to use it for God's glory, more will be given and you will have what? Abundance. Somebody say abundance. But if you say that you have not, because you don't, I never have not. You never what? Have not. So say, I don't have money at all. But you have what? Time. You have energy. Hallelujah. Time plus energy equals what?
Money.
Hallelujah. You have something. Someone is sick, they are down, they have something. Let me tell you, the only person who has nothing is somebody who has died. The day you have nothing, that means you are dead. Are you with me? So punish that thought that you don't have anything. You have. The only problem is that you have little. But don't stay at the point of having little. That's not God's perfect will for your life. What God wants you to do is that with that little you have, use it for yourself, then use part of it to bless the kingdom of God and to bless others. It's never going to be more than what you can afford. You see what I'm saying? It's never more than what you can afford. I always say, if I have £1 and I give away 10p, I have given as much as the person that had £1,000,000 and gave away £100,000 in the eyes of God. And my reward will be no less. You with me? Let's stop there. Let's pray. Let's talk to God. I hope that you've learned something today.
My passion really is to make you learn and understand. And the goal I really want to understand is not, I want you to be able to apply it in your life. This is the word of life. These are the divine principles that will revolutionize your life. You know, sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in moments of downness and depression. Do you know why? Many times, appreciating what we have. I know that some things have not gone well. But what has God done? You know, we look at just the fact that you are seated here today. You that means that God has done something. You appreciate that? Have you been using what God has given you or done for you for His glory? If you use what you have just for yourself, of course, you have every right to be depressed if things are not going well. But when you start using when you start appreciating what you have, you start thanking God for it, and you start using it for His glory, there is no room for depression. I know you are going somewhere, but the Bible says that you will get there. All you need to do is keep making use of what you have for His glory. He Himself is the one that will bring the increase. Hallelujah. So talk to God today and just rededicate yourself to Him. He said we brought nothing into this world. And it is absolutely certain that we can take nothing out. So let's pray and say, Father, I rededicate myself to You. That all that I am, all that I have, to be used for Your glory. Help me not to live selfishly. Help me to live as a vessel You can use to bless the church and to bless people in need. For in Jesus' name, we pray.